This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I kicked off last year with a sermon series called City of Refuge. And for those that you weren't here last year, if you're new to the church or you just were on holiday mode, it was almost end of the year. And as Esther said, I don't know how she said it so beautifully, 20 nightmaring. It's as close as I could get. And we spoke about the city of refuge and the idea that we have, which we found in the Old Testament in the first part, was that God created these safe spaces for people to be able to go to. And everything is online, so please go and listen to these sermons, because it's really important to follow the whole story here. And there are six cities that God made in the Old Testament that were cities of refuge. And then we read out of 1 Peter 2 verse 9 that all of us are priests. We are all a royal priesthood. Do you guys remember that? Okay, do you remember it because you read it once in scripture before, maybe? All right. And that Jesus is our city of refuge. Can we flip through those next? And in the second sermon, we looked at elders in the gate and the importance of the gate. That's the Damascus gate in Jerusalem that I showed you guys last. And we spoke about the importance of the gate, that even in hell works the same way, as we read in that scripture of Matthew. But it's so important to understand how the gates work and what the gates are about. But then we said in the end that there are two gates. For some of us, it's the gate of the church, but for some of us, it's like Daniel, who is in the gate of the world. What gate do you find yourself in, and what has God called you to do in that gate? Where do you find yourself in an eldership position? The two gates. And then we looked at the parallel of the time of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, who were living in the same time as Daniel. And Daniel was taken into captivity where the other prophets were still in Jerusalem and in Judea. All right. And we don't have time to go into all of that now, so please do yourself a favor. Go listen to this podcast. We're starting this morning with part three. I love that word that Vanna shared about the fire and the anger and the giants. In Shofar Stellenbosch, we start every year with first year's camp. Some of you are on it. Some of you remember me from there, right? Some of you remember those first year's camp? A few of them also do first year's camp here. And that specific year, we were at Beinskloof. And it's beautiful in Beinskloof. It's a rarach and mooi camp terrain. It's a very beautiful campsite. And that night, on the last night of the camp, one of these massive fires started raging right in the top of Beinskloof. And we were watching this fire from a little distance, and I was leading the camp, and I said to my co-worker, the guy that was, you know what it means when you lead the camp, right? It means you do nothing and everyone else does everything, right? Amen? Come on, we all have bosses like that, right? Come on, let's just be real here. And I was that boss. And I said to my second in command, what do you think? And he said to me the following. He said, I'll stay awake. I'll watch. And I went to bed, packed my bags, made sure everything was just in case. I packed my bags and I climbed to bed. And it was probably, I don't know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, somewhere crazy, crazy time. I heard these footsteps coming. It's like those cobblestones, those stones, like Klipovac or Lawsley. And I heard this walk, and it was a walk of a man that's coming to say, you know when you hear that, especially the ladies, when you had to work with those high heels, tick, 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 then you know here comes trouble, right? I knew here comes trouble. And as he opened the door, I saw these flames maybe 50 meters into the air. It was incredibly beautiful and incredibly scary. And the first thought was, dude, seriously, now you want to come in? There's these massive flames. This is like literally on like a few hundred meters away. We had almost 200 first years on that camp. Within half an hour, we all said, "Ayila Camp Terrain." We evacuated that whole campsite. 200 students. We didn't have a single bus. We had volunteers with cars. And somehow, every single bag, everything was removed. And we were able to make them breakfast at another campsite closer to Stellenbosch. We're speaking about being a watchman. And that night, Philip was a watchman. And Philip, for those of you who know him, Philip from Rusticana, Philip's the softest guy I know. Really amazing man of God, just so soft. That night, I realized Philip's not always soft. He was more focused than I've ever seen him in my life. He was like, "We're going." We had to do roll call. We had to make sure everyone was off. It was really half an hour of craziness. And two things happened. We prayed, as some of the leaders, we prayed that because we are on this campsite will not burn down. That was the first prayer we prayed. The second one is, "Lord, I've got 200 students' parents. As a ouer hoor hulle kind het amper dood gebrand." Okay? You know as a parent how you are about your child. And that's why I evacuated. Two things happened. We got off safely. And it burnt around the entire campsite. 360. But the campsite, not one blade of grass was burnt. Because we were watchmen. God is faithful. God is good. We're speaking about being watchmen on the walls this morning. A scripture that is one of my foundational scriptures through this whole message is the following. Your gates will be open continually. They will not be closed night or day, so that men may bring to you the wealth of the nations with their kings led in procession. If the gates are always open, there has to be watchmen on the walls. There has to be elders in the gate. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Probably not. Can we change scripture a little? Is that all right? Can we make it a modern scripture? Can I make this Isaiah 20:19? Is that okay? Forgive this fallacy. Your front door will be open continually. Your front door. Are you at home? Can you see it? Close your eyes. Visualize. My house. My home. Your front door will be open continually. They will not be closed day or night. So that men may bring to you the wealth of Africa. Not the wealth of Durbanville. The wealth of Africa. With their CEOs led in procession. That's as ridiculous as Isaiah was speaking at that time. I mean, they didn't have ADT protecting them in those days. They had real hardcore guys trained. All right, they had their Rangers, they had their Navy SEALs, they had their Rekkies trained to protect them as a city. I tell you, if your house is going to be open 24/7, you're probably going to have an ADT guard there standing full time, right? Have you ever heard the saying? No, there's that saying, to sleep like a baby. Well, there's a better one, to sleep like a security guard. So you don't want that guy looking after your home, but you get the point. If your door is going to continue open, you're sure going to make sure what's coming in and what's going out. You're going to make sure that you've got some crazy security watching over that front door. Okay, we'd rather go back to proper scripture because I'm scared we get a bit deceived with this heresy that I just brought. Forgive that. Okay. So our gates will be continually open. We have to be so careful for what we allow in. So we used to live in Cape Town, and we lived on the sixth floor. Now, if you know anything about Cape Town, in the CBD of Cape Town, there's no dust. Okay, because there's nothing around us but concrete. So there's no dust. Not used to dust. Also not used to flies. For some reason, flies don't come up to the sixth floor. It's just too high for them or something. So we've now moved to Durbanville, and you have two incredible things. You got flies, and you got dust. Okay? So our one door that has this beautiful view, okay, has a gap the size of the N1 under it. And this dust just keeps on flowing in, like every day. It's just leaves, dust. It's just crazy. So I'm trying to rebuild this door, trying to block off this N1 hole that I have to stop the dust. I got a phone call last week from a pastor, not a pastor in Cape Town, but a pastor outside of Cape Town. He phoned me, he said, "Bernie, as an ex-pastor of Cape Town, I've got a little situation. There's a 69-year-old woman who's let a man into her house, a man from the street, and the man's got an abusive, and she can't get him out the house." So immediately a few things go through my mind. I'm like, this lady's almost 70. She's probably not from Cape Town then, because no person that lives in Cape Town longer than 5 minutes opens their door to someone from the street. We need to have watchmen. And that pastor came in as a watchman. And he's kind of one of those more mean pastors. So I was more praying for that man's salvation than anything else. Because if you touch a woman in any kind of way, in a bad way around that pastor, you're going to know about it in every kind of way. Just a joke. But he went to go kick this man out the house. We need to have watchmen watching over what we allow in and what we don't allow in. Otherwise, the rubbish is also going to come in. Hence why God blesses us with watchmen. Matthew 21. All right, strap in. This is a hard one, but it's an awesome one. "And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and overturned the tables and the money changers, and the seats where people sold the pigeons. And then he said to them, 'Listen, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers.' When we think of church, when you think of church, can I ask you a question? Do you think of fellowship, friendship, right? Or let me rephrase. Mostly, most probably, when we think of church, these are the things we think of. We think of relationship, fellowship, friendship, worship, an awesome sermon by an awesome pastor, aka Ross. Discipleship, serving, maybe being on duty. For some of us, maybe we think, man, it's a schlep. Okay, to be honest. For some of us, we think it's effort. For some of us, we think, oh, I've got to get my kids ready for church. Different thoughts that we have. For some of us, we think coffee. Amen? I'm one of those. I'm that first guy. I'm here first in the mornings normally, round about first, especially in Cape Town, because I made sure the coffee machine was on so I could have a cup of coffee. It's priority for me. So us coffee people. What we often don't think church to be, what we don't think the house of the Lord to be, a house of prayer. It's a good place to say amen. Or ouch. Ouch. I know. All right. Is God's house called a house of prayer today? Jesus was quoting two scriptures when he did this. He was quoting Isaiah 56. This is getting good now. Listen carefully. This is getting good. We're going to read that. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, and not fast to my covenant. 2 weeks ago, I preached on John 15, the vine being grafted in. This is a similar concept, being grafted in. Saying the foreigners coming to the Lord, listen. These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them, everyone. And these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them in my
house.
Amen. As we saw 2 weeks ago, the Lord wants to bring us joy. There's a joyfulness that God gives us in prayer. Why? Good question. Thanks for asking. We'll get there. Not all of us are called to be watchmen. As not all of us are called to be elders, we are all called to pray. Can I prove it? Remember those exams you used to take when you're in university and you're sitting in front of that paper? Do you remember that? Do you remember those prayers? I tell you, I've seen atheists going to the Holy of Holies. Lord, if you help me. And I'm a doctor. Supposedly, I don't know. Hopefully, by the time you actually became a doctor, you know a little bit more than then. We're all called to pray. What type of watchman are we speaking about here? Thanks for asking a question. Maybe you're a watchman at your work. I know Marius them have at Old Mutual a group that prays together. I know that there's a group of men that pray together at Sunlam around the block here. Maybe you're called to be a watchman at your workplace. Because guess what? If something goes wrong at Old Mutual, guess who's in trouble? I am. I've got something. I don't know what I've got there. I've got something there. Matty knows. She does her finances. So something goes wrong at Old Mutual, something, it affects me. It affects you. If something goes wrong at Sunlam, it affects us, does it not? At one stage, I remember there was something like 20 people from different shofars all over the Western Cape, all over Cape Town, working at Pick and Pay for different companies, all there at the same time. Why would God do that? That's strange. That's weird. We're not that big a church movement. Because God was saying something there. God is saying that we need to make sure there's food in this nation. It's his heart that people can eat. Did you know that? So he puts watchmen on the wall. You think you're just doing a 9-to-5. You're not. You're called to be a watchman on the wall. For some of us, we're watchmen at home. For those of us that are stay-at-home moms, you're a watchman over your children. You have authority to watch over them. Maybe you're a watchman over your child's school. Maybe God's called you to pray for those teachers, pray for those children, pray for those parents, to stand guard, to stand watch. Maybe your neighborhood, maybe God's calling you to pray over Aurora or Kenridge or Debron or Boston or wherever you find yourself allocated. Maybe God's calling you to be a watchman there. Either way, somewhere you're probably playing a role of a watchman, and somewhere you should be praying. Now, I know that as watchmen, we have a bad rap, right? Can we go to the bad rap scripture? Ezekiel 3. Ezekiel 3:17. Son of man, I've appointed you as a watchman for Israel. Whenever you receive a message from me, warn people immediately. Now, immediately when we read the scripture, it's a negative scripture. Who experiences that as a negative scripture? Okay, so you all, who experiences a positive scripture? You go, yes, Lord, yes, I want that. Five of us, okay. The rest are in the valley of decision. It's okay. My job is not to catch you out. I know everyone always says, I asked a question Thursday night, we started the intercession, I asked the question, and no one raised their hands at all. It's like, two question. I'm not trying to catch anyone out. As a parent, if your child is playing on the jungle gym, as a watchman, you know when that child's pushing it too far. And then you warn. Piti near. Piti near. Piti doof. Yeah. Can that put that light a little bit more positive on the scripture? At the workplace, when you're doing your job and you're an engineer, and you look at the welding, I don't know is there, if there's guys in the oil industry or in the water industry, yeah, but you look at that joint and you go, pretty near. Okay. Yeah, a pipe's going to burst. This is going to cost money. This is going to get dangerous. Someone's going to get hurt. And you run to the boss and you say, boss, problem. Can we fix it? And then we fix it. It is as simple and as beautiful as that. It really is. Then we know the rest, Ezekiel 33. Then the watchman sees the enemy coming, sounds the alarm to warn the people. And then there's kind of a hashtag bad. You don't do your job, you're going to get into trouble. It's the same at work, right? You see that the calculation is wrong. You need to go to your boss and go, boss, here's a problem. We're going to get sued. We're going to get into trouble here. We need to fix this. And then we fix it. And everyone's good. In other words, there's a responsibility with a role, with our job. There's a responsibility as a father. There's a responsibility as a CEO. There's a responsibility as a doctor. We have responsibilities. And God's saying simply here that there's also a responsibility. But this is the beautiful part. Listen very carefully. The name of the Lord is a? The righteous run into it. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strong rock. In him I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. You know what the awesome thing is about a watchman? Where does a watchman stand? Hello. Hello. When you're a watchman, your position is on the wall. It's in the tower. It's in Jesus Christ. There's no safer place. If you're not a watchman, I feel very sorry for you. I don't know how it works for you, but if you're a watchman, I can say that's how it works. It's a position, look, we're all in Christ. No off doctrine. But there's a special place that God calls you up to see. And it's in Christ. Because I know when we think watchmen, we know things. We always think it's because something needs to go wrong. But it's so we can know the strategy of God. Parents, I and you were born most probably in a little bit of a disadvantage. The disadvantage we have is, or had was, that back in the day, one size fits all. I remember when I did cadets at school, one size fits all. They just gave me this uniform. I was like, am I supposed to swim in this or march in this? One size fits all. And if that's all right, if I take a second, my dad wanted me to be like my dad. I got his name. Okay? Ek is Bernard Jr. Ek is Bernard die derde. It's lineage. It's beautiful. My dad wanted this beautiful Afrikaans boy that was going to go into the fruit industry. That's what he wanted. And so he really struggled to understand me most of my life. I was a kid that just didn't fit in the family. My dad is uber, uber, uber intelligent. I'm not. My brother Ryan is uber, uber, uber intelligent. I'm still not. I was that guy that was raising the dead during exams. Didn't work. I can tell you now that my dad is the most proud of me. He understands me better than any other human being. It's really amazing what God's done in our family. And these are saved parents. These are Holy Spirit, God-fearing, baptized parents. But they weren't able to reach the strategy of God to how to raise me up. You see, as a watchman of your parents, God wants to speak to you about your child. That's why we do Immigrun, is that Immigrun parenting course? The Immigrun parenting course, so that you can understand your child. Because Piti and Saki is different. And Lola, she's on her own. I know in this church movement we've got a lot of yakus, but all the yakus are different. When you talk about yaku, you've got to talk about what they do or their character. Then you know who he is, right? Yaku, which yaku? The tall yaku. Oh, yeah, yaku. God has a strategy for each watchman so you can bring up your child in the way of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? I'm taking this out of the message. I know that Esther also I read out of the message this morning. If you do read the Message Bible, can I ask that you read a real Bible with that? The Message Bible is very poetic. It's very beautiful. But it can steer you totally wrong. So when you read the Message, pinch of salt, read the ESV, NIV, King James, or the New King James, or the NLT. Best is to read all of them. Strategic planning is the key to warfare to win. Is the key to warfare to win. You need a lot of good counsel. That's why we do Immigrun. So you can have good counsel, lots of counsel, So you can find out that your child is a contra roosboom and I don't know what all and whatever that means. But you can understand your child. That you can understand your colleague. Theo is different than me. The reason he's different is because he gets air from up here. I get the leftover smog that's down here. There's a superiority there. But for me to understand Theo, I need to pray and really ask God, Lord, what is Theo's heart? Who is Theo? Why did you create Theo? And when I get that, when I have that revelation, we are able to run in unity. Even though his air is better. As watchmen, we have the ability to come into the Holy of Holies, receive from God what is in God's heart, to make, remember we said 2 Peter 9, we come in as priests, we're all a royal priesthood. Well, what a priest does, if you go back to that first sermon, we go on behalf of people to the Lord. And we go and pray. We pray for our pastors. We pray for us. We cover us. We pray for the church. We pray for our neighborhood. We pray for our CEOs. We pray for our bosses. We pray for the people we don't like. We pray for the people we like. And then what we do is we come out of the Holy of Holies and we declare what God says, because there God shows me who Theo is. So if Theo is going through a difficult time, I stand in the gap and say, Lord, you've called Theo to work with the students around the corner here. And they're having a bit of a challenge, Lord. They're struggling with their venue. And I thank you, Lord, that you say that their church will prosper, that their students will get saved. We thank you. We can claim a venue. Because we're able to declare what God says. You see, the watchman can see the strategy of God. God calls us to know and to hear. As we heard in the beginning, when those words were brought, so that we can know what God is saying. Did you see that it wasn't the devil this, the devil that? See, you can only respond to the devil when you know what God's doing, because then you'll know if you need to respond or not. Submit to God. Submit to God, then resist the devil. You can't resist if you're not submitted. God desires for us to hear by him as watchmen so we can warn. So maybe you need to warn your CEO. Maybe you need to warn your secretary that she's a bit familiar, if you're a lady, especially if you're a lady, that the secretary is a bit friendly with the men. And maybe she is a little bit naive. Maybe she doesn't realize what she's doing. Maybe you need to warn your friend to spend more time with his family, less time at work. Because you know where that's going to lead, right? Maybe you need to encourage your friend that the way to find himself is on a motorbike. And please come speak to me after church if that's you. I am willing to help you get onto a midlife crisis quickly. God is so wanting to speak to his people, so wanting to warn. He's such a good father that he says, first of all, come sit in the Lord. Come sit in the high place. Come sit in the tower. Be safe here. And let's help others come to be safe. We're speaking about the city of refuge. Like you saw, God gave me a word for this couple. I don't know what they're going through. I know a little bit of nothing, but enough to be dangerous. Enough to assume something, right? Which makes me dangerous. But then God gives me a word for them to say, you're good. It's perfect. Carry on. To encourage them. That's why we come together. We come together that we can dwell together. So that maybe the Lord wants to speak to you. And let me tell you, the Lord wants to speak to you about someone else. So often we want a word for ourselves. Come and pray or bless someone. I tell you, the Lord will bless you. He wants to use us. He wants to empower us to be a blessing. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Here's the catch, ladies and gentlemen. If the house of the Lord is not a house of prayer, if my house is not a house of prayer, if my temple is not a house of prayer, I'm going to end up laboring in vain. God wants to cultivate a life of prayer. And as we carry on and as I reach the pulpit in this year, I'll be trying to focus on this area to help us understand what is prayer. And we're praying on Thursday nights. I welcome you. If you can't pray, especially come. If you can pray, especially come. If you want to pray, especially come. If I didn't mention you, especially come. What house, ladies and gentlemen, are we building? I can give you 1,000 testimonies of how I've seen God work through prayer. Most of the time, the best way to resolve conflict is in prayer. You have a problem with someone working under you. You have a problem with someone working above you. Go and pray. And you know what's going to change? You. Because when you go to the Holy of Holies, you can't come out the same. It's like when we worship together. You come in. But something changes. You're not sure what, but there was that wow moment. Did some of us experience it this morning? It's a wow moment, like, wow, God. Not sure what it is, not sure how it looks, not sure what's going on here, but I just, there's a God. I get it. And you come out changed. Prayer is so like marriage, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to close with this. It's so much like marriage. Conversation. I speak to my wife and then she tells me what to do. No. Speak to my wife and she speaks back. We speak to each other. We're in it together. We've got a child together now. God help us all. That day when you have your first child, you remember that moment? I'm undone. What is this? How does it work? I think it's broken. And we communicate. And we speak to each other. So is prayer. Two-way conversation is prayer. We'll get to that later on this year. But I want to encourage you that if you're a watchman and you know that God's called you to be a watchman specifically, come and pray. Bernie, you're saying I'm a watchman at work. How do I learn to pray? Thursday nights, right here, right now. Come pray. Bernie, I've got kids. How am I going to do this? Man, just be a watchman. Come pray. Can we stand together? Can we flight that last scripture as we close in prayer? Your gates will be open continually. They'll not be closed. The Lord wants this church's doors to be open. The Lord wants your doors to be open. The doors of your house, the doors of your heart. Maybe there's someone at your workplace that you need to invite over for a braai. Maybe you see they're going through a bit of a tough time. Maybe they're new. Maybe they lost. Something's telling you something. Make sure your doors are open. Because in the end, God wants to bring in the wealth of nations, as we spoke in the first one, to build his kingdom. God will put you in amazing places. I was once invited to a very secret meeting with very powerful people in our country. Very powerful businessmen and very powerful politicians. And I was the poor soul that was invited in there. I walked in there going, like, what am I doing here? And then they asked me, what are you doing here? And I went, I don't know. I've been sent by the boss. I'm here. I'm representing Shofar. And they said, okay. And it was so beautiful to hear what was in the heart of these people and what God was saying. That was one of those moments where I sat with the kings and I could get words for the kings, because God wants to bring the wealth to build his church. Father, we come this morning and we pray, Lord, that you will come and show us, oh Lord, what joy it is to be on the walls. What joy it is, Lord, to be a watchman. What a joy it is to be in the name of the Lord as a strong tower. To watch and see, Lord, what you are doing, Lord. To be able to warn when trouble comes, but to be able to know the heart of God. To be able to release the word of the Lord. Lord, there are so many people that are stuck in life. And if we just spend a little bit more time with you, Lord, we'll be able to help them to get unstuck and to release them of that. Like that game when we played like a little child stuck in the mud, where someone is on and he has to touch people, and when they touch, they're stuck. And you have the power to unstuck them. You have the power to release them by just touching them. And they release, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us to do that for our families, Lord, for our friends, Lord, for the people around us, for our neighbors, Lord. Even that strange guy that keeps on playing the weird music and drives that Harley. Even him, Lord. Lord, we thank you for Shofar, which is the ram's horn, which represents, Lord, the ability to warn, the ability to make people unstuck, to release people. Help us to open our gates. And Lord, we pray again for a hunger, just to pray, just to be in communion with you, just to be in conversation with you, just to spend time in the word, Lord, to say, Lord, this is who you are. This is who I am. Father, give us a heart again, Lord, of zealous desire, Lord, to stand on the walls, to see and to bless, for the joy that comes in that place, Lord. What a joy it is, Lord, when we can put out a fire before half the Western Cape burns out. What a joy it is, Lord, that before someone goes down that wrong track, Lord, maybe ends up cheating on their wife or cheating on their husband, Lord, we can intervene and say, man, it's not worth it. God loves you, and he loves your spouse, and he wants to make your marriage awesome. We thank you, Lord, for that power. We thank you for that ability. But we surrender. We give you all. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.